Welcome to this lecture on digital service experience. Today we're going to explore some concepts and frameworks that help us understand how users interact with and perceive digital services, and how we can apply this knowledge to the design of those services. We will focus on three key perspectives: user experience, as discussed by Hassenthal and Rutinsky, which highlights the emotional and experiential aspects of digital service interactions; user-centeredness, as outlined by Iivari and Iivari, that similarly emphasizes how digital services should be structured around users' needs, expectations, and behaviors, rather than just technical functionality or business goals. Finally, the TCQ framework, developed by De Keyser and others, provides us a structured approach to understanding and improving digital service interactions through considering touch points, content, and qualities in their design. So, by the end of this lecture, we will better understand how to design engaging, effective, and meaningful digital services that go beyond functionality to create exceptional user experiences. User experience isn't just about whether a service works. It's about how it makes you feel and how it fits into your life. Hassenthal and Rutinsky describe user experience as subjective, dynamic, and complex interaction between a user's internal state, the system design, and the context of use. In other words, user experience is not just about what a service does. It's about how and why you interact with it. The authors emphasize three major perspectives that we should consider in UX design: addressing human needs beyond the instrumental, including affective and emotional aspects of the interaction, and considering the nature of experience. In the early days, digital service design emphasized usability, so making sure that technology worked. But as we have learned throughout the course, user experience, it goes beyond usability. A service should not only function well, but also provide an engaging and meaningful experience. Consider, for example, Instagram. The app's primary function is photo and video sharing. But as users, we don't engage with it just because it works. The aesthetic design, the visually pleasing feed, and the ability to express your identity through carefully curated posts, all of this goes beyond its basic functionality. So, in a sense, this taps into our need for self-expression or even desire for social validation. In a similar way, Apple's product design is not about high-tech hardware. From the start, the company has been known for its sleek aesthetics, seamless interfaces, and brand image that contribute to an experience that truly goes beyond functionality. User experience is also about more than meeting our practical needs. It's about how a service makes us feel. So the emotional response we have while using a service, it can really determine whether we continue using it or recommend it to others. We can take, for instance, Spotify's Discover Weekly and Spotify Wrapped feature as an example. They create excitement by offering these personalized playlists that we as users feel that are curated just for us. This creates anticipation and emotional connection that goes beyond just listening to music. Or consider Duolingo. Its playful design, friendly owl mascot, and gamification elements turn language learning into this engaging and fun experience. Finally, user experience is not a single moment. It's an ongoing journey. A service is shaped by the user's context, expectations, and emotions over time. For example, using Airbnb isn't just about booking a place to stay. The experience includes browsing listings, reading reviews, communicating with hosts, and finally, the stay itself. So the platform designs for this entire experience, aiming to create these memorable, positive experiences from start To finish, there is an interesting question the article raises. Can we design experiences? The answer is both yes and no, because while we cannot control every aspect of users' interaction with a service, like their mood or external environment, we can design for experiences. So creating these contexts and touch points that encourage positive and meaningful interactions. So what we can learn from this article is that great digital service experiences go beyond utility and usability. They create delight, engagement, and meaning. So as you work on your projects, think beyond functionality. Consider how your service can inspire, surprise, and truly connect with its users. As we have learned on the course, user-centeredness is a fundamental principle in digital service experience and design. Ivari and Ivari identify four key dimensions that determine whether a digital service is truly centered around its users: user focus, work-centeredness, user involvement, and system personalization. In the next few slides, we'll walk through these dimensions with some real-world examples. So user focus means designing services that truly understand and address user needs. As already emphasized by Hasenthal and Dratinsky's article, it's not enough for a service to function technically. It must also be intuitive, accessible, and responsive to real-world usage. An example that comes to my mind, having just traveled by train over the weekend, is VR-matkalla, the Finnish Railway Services mobile app. The app is designed to make traveling as smooth and stress-free as possible by providing real-time train schedules and notifications about the travel. Users receive instant updates about platform changes, delays, and service disruptions, helping to reduce uncertainty and frustration. Instead of requiring printed tickets, the app allows users to store digital tickets, select seats in advance, and modify travel plans with ease. The refund and rebooking process is also straightforward, ensuring that users can quickly adapt to unexpected changes. VR-matkalla is a great example of how a digital service can go beyond just its basic functionality, here selling tickets. It enhances the entire travel experience by removing complexity and frustration and ensuring that users have the information they need exactly when they need it. Work-centeredness means ensuring that digital services support users' tasks and workflows efficiently. While we have so far emphasized the emotional and experiential aspects of digital service experience in this lecture, we must, of course, not overlook the importance of effectively supporting users' tasks and work. One great service to exemplify work-centeredness and how it can show in the design of a service is Omavero, the Finnish tax administration platform. Filing taxes is often seen as a complex and stressful task, but Omavero is designed to simplify this process. The platform provides these pre-filled tax returns, reducing the burden of users by automatically gathering key financial information. Instead of manually entering every detail, users only need to review the information and make the necessary adjustments. Omavero also offers step-by-step guidance to help users complete their tax forms correctly. So whether you're an employee, freelancer, or business owner, the system adapts to different user needs, ensuring that each individual receives relevant instructions based on their specific tax situation. Additionally, integrated payment options make it easy for users to pay any outstanding taxes directly through the platform, eliminating the need to visit a separate banking service. By structuring the service around the user's workflow, rather than expecting users to figure out complicated tax procedures on their own, Omavero makes task management much more efficient and less intimidating. So it's a great example of how a user-centered digital service removes unnecessary barriers allowing users to focus on their goals rather than struggling with complex processes. User involvement then captures the idea that digital services should be developed with direct input from users to ensure that they truly meet the real-world needs. As Ivari and Ivari explain in their paper, user involvement can take different forms. Informative, where users act as providers of information and as objects of observation. Consultative, where users, for example, test the service and offer comments and suggestions for improvement. And participative, where users more actively take part in the design process and might have some decision-making power regarding the designed solution. Using Jyväskylä's public transportation service, Linkki, as an example, the service could apply user involvement by adjusting bus schedules based on commuter demand and travel patterns, introducing new Linkki app features such as enhanced route planning or live bus tracking after user testing and feedback, or experimenting with new ticketing options such as QR code-based mobile tickets and refining the system based on user experiences before the full rollout. So by involving users at different levels, digital services like Linkki app can remain responsive, intuitive, and better aligned with user needs. As the fourth dimension, system personalization refers to designing digital services that can adapt to individual users, either automatically, which is when we talk about adaptive systems, or through user-controlled settings, so these customizable systems. One great example here is the food delivery app Wolt. Wolt uses personalization in multiple ways, for instance, through personalized restaurant recommendation based on our order history, order tracking in real time, allowing us users to follow our deliveries, and through custom notifications and promotions tailored to our preferences. And this, of course, creates a much smoother and more engaging experience that feels tailored to individual users. But how does Wolt achieve this level of personalization? The answer lies in service modularization, which we discussed during last week's lecture. Instead of offering this one-size-fits-all experience, Wolt breaks its service into modular components, which can be customized or adapted to the user. For example, instead of showing the same restaurants to every customer, Wolt personalizes the restaurant recommendations based on users' order history, essentially modifying the restaurant selection module for each person. By modularizing its service, Wolt can dynamically reconfigure parts of the user experience, ensuring that no customer receives the exact same interface, recommendations, or offers. This is what makes the platform feel tailored to each individual user, even though the core service remains the same. In essence, service modularization provides the foundation for system personalization. Without breaking services into modular, flexible components, it would be practically impossible to deliver personalized experiences at scale. Finally, we turn to the De Keyser and others article and the TCQ framework, which helps us analyze and optimize user experience. The framework offers us a structured way to understand how, where, and why digital service experiences succeed or fail. TCQ consists of three building blocks: touch points, context, and qualities. So first, touch points are any interaction between the user and a service, whether it's direct, like using an app, or indirect, like reading online reviews before making a purchase decision. These interactions shape the user experience and occur across different channels, formats, and stages of the customer journey. Touch points can be categorized based on who controls them, their nature, and their stage in the customer journey. Regarding touch point control, firm-controlled touch points, these are designed and managed by the service provider itself, including, for instance, the official website, customer support, store environments, or advertisements. Non-firm control touchpoints, these are shaped by customers, influencers, or other businesses. Examples could be user-generated content on social media, online forums, customer reviews on our third-party websites, and word-of-mouth recommendations. As an example here, I have Kela, the official Kela website, chatbot, and helpline. These could be examples of firm control touchpoints. However, many users rely on non-firm control touchpoints such as peer advice, social media discussions, or independent guides to understand how Kela's benefits work. This highlights an important point. Customer experience doesn't just happen on official platforms. External interactions play a major role in shaping how users perceive and engage with the service. Touchpoints can also be categorized based on their format and delivery method. Examples of human touchpoints could be customer service agents or in-store staff or chat support, human chat support on a website. Digital touchpoints could be mobile apps, websites, self-service kiosks, or chatbots. Physical touchpoints could be retail store environments or product displays on a store. Hybrid touchpoints, then again, are a mix of these. So, for instance, mix of digital and physical, such as QR code-based payments or these self-checkout kiosks in stores. As an example, we can go back to the VR-matkalla experience, where, for instance, as a digital touchpoint, the app provides real-time schedules, mobile ticketing, and notifications. Human touchpoints, in this case, could be VR's customer service team that helps with refunds or provides any necessary travel support. Physical touchpoints could be ticket vending machines or printed schedules at stations. And as a hybrid touchpoint example, travelers could scan their mobile tickets at physical gates for entry. Touchpoints also occur at different phases of the customer journey. In their article, De Keyser and others, they talk about pre-purchase, purchase, and post-purchase stages. However, we could also consider these as pre-use or pre-engagement, use and engagement, and post-use or post-engagement stages. So it doesn't have to be about the purchase necessarily. Examples of pre-purchase stage could include users searching for information, reading reviews, comparing different service options, and actually deciding whether or not to engage with the service. The purchase or use stage is then about the user actually engaging with the service, and the post-purchase or post-engagement stage tells us what happens after. Here, I will go back to my previous example of Wolt. And in Wolt's case, the pre-purchase stage, it could involve users browsing restaurant options, comparing ratings, or reading reviews before deciding what to order this time. The purchase stage includes users placing the order or completing the payment and receiving the estimated delivery time for their order. The post-purchase stage is where the customers track their delivery, perhaps after enjoying their meal, rate the restaurant, or leave some reviews. Importantly, by mapping touch points across the entire customer journey, service providers can identify the pain points and improve the service design to enhance the overall experience. Context refers to the situational factors that shape how a user experiences a digital service. Even if a service is well designed, its effectiveness depends on when, where, and how it is used. And the context, it can be broken down into four key dimensions. Individual context, which reflects the personal stage of a user at various touch points along the journey. Factors such as our emotional state, our cognitive load, or physical condition or financial situation and different personal values and norms, they all influence how a service is perceived and used by us. The social context includes things such as social relationships, norms, and peer influences on our behavior. For example, we might follow recommendations from friends, be influenced by online reviews, or adjust our behavior based on social expectations. Market context then includes the broader business environment surrounding the service. This includes competitors, industry trends, or some alternative services, and of course, new entrants in the market. So a service provider must constantly adapt to changes in the market and take into account the different competing solutions and emerging services that shape customer choices. Finally, the environmental context includes, for instance, external economic, political, and natural factors that affect service use. Examples could include weather conditions, fuel prices, road infrastructure, government policies, and overall economic stability. These factors may indirectly influence how users interact with a digital service. Going back to my previous example of a traveler using the VR-matkalla app to plan their journey, we can see how all of these four dimensions of context influence their experience. Imagine first how the traveler is running late for a train. Their emotional state is stressed and anxious, probably, and their cognitive load is high as they try to process multiple pieces of information at once. For instance, the departure times, the platform numbers, and potential delays. Thinking about the influence of social context, the traveler might check social media to see if other passengers are experiencing delays, or read reviews about VR's reliability, or ask a friend if they should take a certain route. In addition, social norms around sustainability might encourage them to choose the train over a less eco-friendly option like driving. The traveler's decision to use VR-matkalla is also shaped by market forces. If, for example, Onnibus offers a cheaper or more convenient alternative for the same route, the traveler might consider choosing that option. In addition, if other transport services would introduce better digital features, such as more accurate real-time tracking or AI-based trip planning, VR-matkalla must evolve to stay competitive. Finally, external conditions such as heavy snowfall or railway strike could delay trains, making the traveler rely more on real-time updates in the app. Also, rising fuel prices might push more people to take trains instead of driving, leading to a higher demand and potential overcrowding, which might affect both the app's performance or customer satisfaction in the trains. So overall, this example highlights how context matters in digital service experience and design. A well-designed service must be adaptive, recognizing these situational factors, and respond accordingly. As the third and final building block, experience qualities define how users feel when they interact with a digital service. De Keyser and others divide these qualities into five dimensions: participation level, dimensionality, valence, ordinariness, and time flow, all of which impact how users engage with and remember a service. Some digital services require active user participation, while others allow for passive consumption. So participation exists on this continuum from low to high involvement. As an example, we can consider Nike ID versus Netflix. So, of course, in this comparison, Nike ID represents a service with high participation, where users actively design and customize their own shoes, making them truly part of the service experience. Netflix, then again, requires much lower activity in the participation. So users rather passively stream content with minimal effort required be beyond choosing what to watch. Experiences are also multidimensional, activating different user responses. These include emotional, cognitive, sensorial, social, and behavioral responses. So going back again to the vault example, thinking about emotional aspects and how they are reflected in the design, we can, for instance, think about the gamified order tracking that creates excitement for the users. On the cognitive side, we can think about how the user interface is very simple and intuitive, which reduces confusion. Sensorial elements include very same sleek interface that really makes the browsing appealing. The social side comes through, for example, in the different ratings and reviews that others give in the application to help us make better decisions. And the behavioral, an example of a behavioral perspective could be how the personalized promotions really encourage us to behave in a way where we repeat our purchase. Services that activate multiple dimensions of experience, they tend to be more engaging, memorable, and satisfying. Valences refer to the emotional charge of an experience, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. As we've discussed during the course, digital services rarely create purely positive or negative experiences. Instead, many interactions involve a mix of emotions, shaped by our expectations, the context, and outcomes. This also ties into our earlier discussion on value co-creation and co-destruction on this course. So, a well-designed digital service aims to maximize the positive valence through value co-creative processes and outcomes, and of course, minimizing frustrations and negative and undesired experiences. Here I thought of an example from social media. If we think about value co-creation and positive experiences, social media truly can create and foster excitement, connections, and validation when we as users receive different likes and comments and shares on our posts. This experience often feels rewarding and reinforces our engagement with the platforms. At the same time, social media can lead to anxiety, comparison, stress, or disappointment when engagement, for instance, with our content is lower than we expected, or when we encounter some negative comments. So platforms like Instagram and TikTok, they often create this mix of emotions where we might at the same time feel validation and joy, but also stress and frustration in another moment, depending on the context and depending on the interaction. Nikiser and others also talk about how experiences exist on a spectrum from ordinary to extraordinary. Ordinary experiences are these common everyday interactions like checking an email or going grocery shopping. Extraordinary experiences are much more unique and often high-intensity experiences, like traveling to a new country or attending a once-in-a-lifetime event. As an example of an ordinary experience, shopping on a grocery delivery app, for example, is a very routine, low-intensity activity, especially if it has become your routine. So we as users, we browse different items, add them to our cart, go to the checkout, and wait for the delivery. This process is pretty predictable and repetitive, fulfilling a certain functional need rather than aiming even to create this very emotional or memorable experience. Thinking of a more extraordinary experience, playing an immersive VR game or exploring the metaverse, These can be considered much more high intensity and unique digital experiences, especially for those of us and most of us who don't really engage with these technologies in our everyday life. These technologies, they really engage multiple senses and create this feeling of escapism. They can evoke excitement and even adrenaline, making them far from an everyday occurrence for the most of us. Finally, users perceive time differently. As an example, I have Instagram and TikTok stories versus watching TV series, for instance, from Netflix. So scrolling through Instagram or TikTok stories delivers this rapid stream of brief, engaging snippets, each lasting just a few seconds. But this format, it encourages quick consumption and constant refreshing with content designed to capture attention instantly. In comparison, if we think about binge watching a TV series on Netflix, it involves a much more prolonged, immersive engagement. The narrative of the series, it unfolds over multiple episodes, requiring sustained attention, emotional investment, and a gradual build-up of the context and characters. But now it's time to wrap up with the key takeaways from this lecture. First, as we have learned throughout the course, digital service experience goes beyond functionality. Services must be engaging, user-friendly, and emotionally rewarding in order for them to create long-term engagement and value. Second, user-centeredness is fundamental. Thinking about and considering user needs, workflows, involvement, and personalization in the design of services, it can really lead to better and more engaging services. And finally, touch points, context, and qualities really shape the digital service experience. Every interaction within a service is influenced by where, when, and how it occurs. Thank you for watching.